The following is a Fourth Hand production.
15, 64, 50, 80, 90, hey, hey!
Hey, you guys.
Oh, my nose!
Welcome to A Very Brady Podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Jimmy. And with me, as always, is the other host of the show, Zach.
Sup.
And on this podcast, we celebrate the iconic TV show, The Brady Bunch. As we break down The Bunch one episode at a time, we take the episode, we break it down, we give it free meat, spend time with it, invite it bowling, only be put on the back burner to play second fiddle to some dork with a lot of money, all for your enjoyment.
Burn.
On today's episode, we look at Season 2, Episode 23, entitled Alice's September Song. If you haven't watched the episode, please feel free to stop the podcast and go watch it before continuing. You don't have to, but it might make it a hell of a lot more funny if you do. The Brady Bunch is available to stream on Hulu, CBS All Access,
and Amazon Prime.
So you brought up something last week, Jimmy, something about Amazon Prime or something?
I did.
It's not available or something? What?
Well, I myself tried because, you know, if anything, me and Tack are into to being thorough and giving correct information on this podcast. Mm-hmm. So I went in to try to watch this episode on CBS All Access or Amazon Prime.
Wait, or what?
Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It's weird if you don't say it that way. So I tried to watch it on that way, and it had nothing at all to do with the fact that we couldn't find the episode anywhere else. And it turns out that you can watch it on Amazon Prime. On Amazon Prime! if you have CBS All Access.
Oh.
So although you can navigate to it through Amazon Prime, if you don't have CBS All Access, it doesn't matter. It's not going to work. So
yeah,
we're still going to keep Amazon Prime on here, but because it's so much fun to say, but it's you can't really watch it through there.
Makes me laugh every time, Jimmy Klein. Man.
So yes.
Well, that's fun.
So this was an interesting episode. This one gave me a little bit of an anxiety, you know, halfway through it, and I'll explain that when we get to it. Or maybe at the mid break I'll explain you know, what my fear was, but it doesn't matter. I'm talking too much. Anyways.
How dare you talk too much on a podcast?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because on this episode it talks about, you know, Alice dating somebody, and we all know eventually that Alice dates, spoiler alert, dates Sam the Butcher, right?
Has been dating.
Yeah, exactly. But this one, it talks about, you know, her dating somebody else, maybe. Another thing it talks about in this episode is rekindling old flames. You know, somebody you dated a long time ago coming back into your life, or getting back in touch with somebody that you dated a long time ago. It may be shocking to some of our viewers, but me and Tech have dated girls.
I've dated a couple of different girls. In my day.
I mean, I've had girls actually talk to me.
Like, I've touched a boob. Sorry.
Oh, shit. Well, that's because you were standing too close to me when I was trying to change.
Oh, yeah.
But my question to you is, have you ever either tried to rekindle an old flame? Or have you ever been put in a situation that might be kind of awkward because you're back in touch or seeing an old flame? If that makes any sense at all.
Kinda. So I'm not going to mention any names here, obviously, but
okay, yeah, we won't mention any names.
I did have this one girlfriend for, I don't remember how long we dated. It wasn't too terribly long, maybe a year or so. And things didn't end well. Basically, I slowly became unhappy in the relationship, and then I was in the Navy at the time, and then kind of just stopped calling her because I went out to sea.
Oh, shit.
So I just stopped talking to her. When I got back, I just kind of ignored it. And it wasn't the most mature way to go, but I was very young. I was like I don't know, like 20 or something like that, you know? And so, fast forward to several years later, probably like mid late 30s, I'd gotten in contact with her again. We just started chit chatting, you know, talking about the good old days or whatever, you know? And, and then, so we decided to meet up, and I hadn't physically seen her or been around her since, like, I was like 20 years old, 21, whatever, 19, right. 20. And so, we met up, and things kind of, you know, one thing led to another, if you know what I mean, Jimmy.
Right, oh, right on. Man. Oh, man.
Woo! I'm just kidding. But then she was like immediately like, I don't know, she was different. She wasn't the same. And, but she was like ready to like commit very quickly, it seemed like. And I'm like, you know, whoa, we just started talking again. And, I was like, you know, but let's, you know, maybe see where things go, you know, or whatever. And,
right.
But, it wasn't, she was not the same. And a lot of things had changed. And so ended up not going forward with it. Basically, I pretended to go out to sea and didn't call her. No, I didn't do that. But, you know, that's happened a couple times. Same kind of story with a different girl, but then the girl ended up being like a really hardcore drug addict. And then I was like,
oh, wow,
this is not good. So, yeah. She,
so that you're, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but your adventures with girls could be a podcast in and of itself, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm still single, ladies.
You're supposed to do the dance when you say that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm still single, ladies. I'm still single, ladies. I'm still single. So put your hands up. Sorry.
I mean, this is going to sound rude, but I don't mean it to sound like this. But I mean, I haven't dated nearly as many people as Takav has, and I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm not trying to be funny. What? I didn't even start dating until I was like in college.
We're so. Guys. That makes me sound like a badass, and you like a dork. Okay.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. but I'm still friends with the majority of the girls I've dated. People think I'm strange. Like my wife knows a lot of the girls I dated and stuff, and. So, I mean, for me, there was one girl that, you know who it is, a girl I dated, first girl I dated, and, we left on bad terms and things were awkward between us, and we managed to talk on the phone years later. This was kind of a decade later, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of cleared the air and kind of cleared everything that was going on or that everything that we thought. And now today we're friends, and she messages me on Facebook regularly and checks on the family and, you know.
That's cool.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, you had me kind of thinking there because it turns out that I've done this a few times in my past because you got to think like with my kid's mom, that was the same kind of story. Although we were just friends back in the day. We never dated or anything, but that's
who I thought you were talking about earlier.
Oh no.
because the story, that's how, and I was like, oh, I know who he's talking about.
Yeah. No.
Then you said something about it. I kind of did it again. I was like, oh, that's not who he's talking about. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also talking about another ex-girlfriend was somebody I was friends with years ago. And then started talking to her again. And we dated for like a year or something. Is that right. Just like my MO, I guess? I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
I feel like it's therapy. But that's another thing, too. I have really great relationships with my exes. Let's back up. Yeah. I don't have great relationships. I either have a really good one or don't have one at all. So I don't have any ex out there that would talk bad about me. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, I have a couple that, you know, I've lost contact with.
Yeah.
Because time happens, you know. One of them I hear from. I hear from her probably every 5 years or so. I talked to her when my mom passed away. But I've got a handful that I'm friends with and that I consider friends.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, me too.
I look at it like if you can't really be friends with them, then you kind of have to ask the question, did you really ever care about them in the first place? I mean, I'd rather them in my life as a friend than not at all. So
yeah.
Anyways. Okay, so I guess right here is where we're going to take our first break.
Okay.
And when we come back,
mm-hmm.
we're going to dive into this.
Mm.
Okay, so we will be back. Okay.
Welcome, Beyonders.
How did we get to this weird place? Who are these two crazy guys, and what is going on?
Beyond Terrestrial, or BT for short, is a podcast dedicated to the strange, the macabre, the conspiratorial, and all things supernatural. Hosted by Dan Martson and Lee Arriott, two guys who discovered late-night radio shows like Coast to Coast while working the night shift, and stumbled into a world of fantastic tales and local legends.
We share these stories with our dedicated fans we lovingly call Beyonders every other Tuesday. Join me and Lee as we take a mysterious journey into obscure local tales and spin up some hot takes on the supernatural stories we all know and love.
Two words: interdimensional Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
And we are back. Okay. We have the Brady Bunch. Season 2, episode 23, entitled Alice's September Song. But it's November. But anyways, let's get into
Actually,
this.
Actually, it's December. Today's December 1st.
I thought that was a saying, but it seemed off for some reason to me. Facts about the episode. This episode first aired March 12th, 1971. It was written by Elroy Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
As an E.T. Yeah, anyways. Oh, it was Elliot, wasn't it? Yeah. Who was Elroy? Oh, Elroy was the Jefferson.
Jetson.
No.
Jetson. You sound like an old man.
Jefferson. Moving on up. With Elroy Schwartz. This was directed by Oscar Rudolph.
My man.
According to IMDb, the chalkboard in the kitchen is missing in this episode.
I was concerned about it. I don't know if you even noticed it, but I was like, what is happening in this universe?
That was part of that anxiety I told you about. Not really. Okay. We fade in. Scene 1. We open to see the Brady family station wagon pulling into the driveway. We then see Carol and Alice hop out and begin carrying in groceries. And of course, Alice is carrying more. Like, I think every episode where they carry groceries, Alice is carrying like two or three bags.
Yeah.
And like Carol's carrying like, you know, a bag full of tomatoes or something, and that's it.
She's helping. I'm just here to help you.
Once they get inside, Carol notices that Alice has a message by the phone. Alice assumes it's from Sam and begins explaining that if he's still at the butcher shop, she'll call him right back. But Carol interrupts, saying it's not from Sam, and she can't quite make out the name. Alice reads it, and it's from Macker Maldrill. She claims she doesn't know anyone named Macker Maldrill. She claims it, because you know she knows somebody.
Yeah.
Carol seems to feel apologetic explaining to Alice, if she's told the kids once, she's told them 100 times, when someone calls, get the name right. Just then, Cindy walks in and, hearing the tail end of the conversation, begins explaining with, "I tried." Seeming surprised that a 10-year-old can actually read and write, Carol and Alice ask Cindy, "You took the message?" Thought that was a little condescending. Cindy replies, "I wrote it just like the man told me." Carol then volunteers to put away the groceries as Alice sits down and tries to figure out who called. After admitting that she doesn't spell good, but she remembers good, Cindy tells Alice that Mark Millard called, and he said he'd call back. Alice seems taken back by the name as Cindy leaves. After Alice repeats the name, Carol pipes in, saying she's heard Alice mention the name Mark Millard before. Carol, thinking Alice gets enough time off from work to meet somebody, asks if it's her new boyfriend. Alice corrects her, saying, "It's an old one."
Mm.
Alice then begins explaining how Mark and her were in high school, and he was the most handsome and most charming boy in the class.
Mm.
Her knees would melt whenever he just looked at her.
Gross.
Yeah, right? Carol finds all this very exciting. Alice admits she finds it exciting too, but wonders if there's enough heat in an old flame to melt her knees again.
Mm.
Hmm. Why are the eggs in the bag that way?
I saw that. Why were there so many? It's like every bag had at least one or two, like,
and those weren't a dozen. Those were like 18 of them.
Yeah, they were like an 18-pack.
So she had two 18-packs of eggs, and they were turned horizontally in the bag. Like, they were shoved in there as if they were like spaghetti.
And there was like three or four bags, and every bag had at least one or two in the bag sticking out of the top.
But I mean, who packs eggs in there like that? Like, they were horizontal. Like,
I don't know. And what the hell kind of name is Millard? It sounds made up. I mean, it even probably is. But I don't know. But
it sounds like it reminds me of the hardware store that used to be up in Illinois. There's a hardware store up in that part of the country called Menards. Mm. And that's what the first thing I thought of was Millard's. Isn't that the hardware store? I was like, oh, that's Menards. Never mind.
Hmm.
But you're right. It does sound made up.
All right.
Well, the character's name is Mark. Mark what? Millard.
Right.
So like the duck? Like, no, not Mallard. Millard.
Yeah, it sounds awkward. It just sounds, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
All right. Scene two. Out in the funny garbage carport thingy, Greg is working.
Garage.
I thought that was weird. I was, man, like,
you don't like his architecture, do you? Jeez. Fucking garbage carport.
Jimmy, I said what I said.
Damn right.
Out in the funny garage carport thingy, Greg is working on a balsa wood airplane while Bobby watches. Look at that. Bobby's just like his mom. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, right.
Bobby, being excited, exclaims, "Boy, this is going to be the best plane ever. I can see it now, taking off and flying all the way to Africa. What do you think, Greg?" Greg, trying to concentrate and growing weary of Bobby interrupting, tells him if he doesn't keep quiet, he's going to bop him one.
Ooh.
Just then, Sam walks in and immediately tells Greg, that's some plane you got there. Then tells the boys that when he was a boy, he built one that stayed up for a year. Bobby's bullshit detector and training seems doubtful, asking, "A year? There's no fucking way."
Sam, yeah, right. He's like, "A year? A fucking year, really?"
Sam confirms, "A year. It was a whole year before I was old enough to climb the tree and get it down." Greg finds the joke hilarious as Sam asks if Alice is still there. Bobby tells him she's inside and she's getting ready to go out.
Well, once again, the boys are outside in short sleeve shirts, but Sam comes walking up in a fucking jacket. Like, well, first and second, why is the butcher showing up at the house? Like, they act like this is fucking normal. Oh, Sam's here. Like, he's never been in an episode at the house.
Are you kidding?
He doesn't just fucking show up.
It was just like the opposite. Like, I thought, like, as we get into it, like, they're like, boys are like, "Oh, hey, Sam, you know, because you're dating our maid. This is normal." But then, like, everybody else are like, "What the fuck? Is that Sam out there?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, "How the fuck did he get here?" And everybody's looking at him through the window like, who the fuck does he think he is? You know, they act like it's like a Bigfoot sighting. Like, get the camera, quick.
I don't know. Like, I'm really good friends with people at Walgreens because I shop at Walgreens all the time. I've worked out with guys from Walgreens just because, anyways. But even then, if one of them showed up at my house, I'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing at my house? How'd you figure out where I live?
Well,
like, how do you even know? Like, get the fuck out of here."
I mean,
really?
People at Walgreens or whatever, like, if they're dating somebody in your house and they've been there before, I don't know.
Yeah, but we've never seen him there.
Yeah, he's been there a few times.
Has he? Oh, okay. Okay. Scene three. Now at the kitchen table, we see Mike and Peter also working on a plane. When Carol comes in asking what they're working on, Peter explains that they're working on the plane while Greg and Bobby put together the wings outside. When Carol compliments their efficient production line, Mike says that Orville and Wilbur couldn't have done it any better. That's the Wright brothers tag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Peter then announces that he's going to go outside and see how the wings are coming along. Once he leaves, Carol glances outside and seems horrified. She pats Mike, saying, "Oh no, look who's outside talking to Peter." Mike, not understanding the issue, tells Carol that Sam has come by to see Alice before. Carol tries to explain to Mike that Alice has a date with Mr. Millard and that this will be very awkward for her.
Mm.
Mike assures Carol that Alice is equipped to tell Sam she's got a date with another guy.
Mm.
Growing frustrated of Mike's ignorance, she tells him that he just doesn't understand women at all. Unbothered, he comes back with, "Well, that makes me a charter member of a very large fraternity."
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Mm.
He just fucking slammed that shit down. Right? Like, what now? Carol gets the idea to get Alice to stay in her room. But Mike reminds her that Sam has remarkable staying power. This comment... And I know people like that. This comment somehow makes the entire situation Mike's problem as Carol begins telling him to think of something and how he's so good at things like this. Finally telling Mike to, quote unquote, just get rid of him.
Mm.
Sam knocks on the back door and lets himself in. He immediately explains how tonight is the semifinals of the supermarket bowling league, and tonight they're playing the bread and pastry boys.
Mm.
Mike cracks a joke saying, it's a stupid joke, but it made me laugh. Mike cracks a joke saying how crummy the competition sounds. Sorry, it's just pastry. Anyways, and Sam loses it, thinking this is the funniest joke he's ever heard, and asks if he can use it. Mike says yes, as long as he doesn't tell anyone where he heard it. I'm the opposite. I'm like, you better give me credit for that shit.
Right.
Sam then begins telling Mike that he was thinking of taking Alice along, saying how great of a rooter she is for the team. Mike pauses and tells Sam that he would like to talk to him about women. Sam is confused at first and realizes what Mike is talking about and offers to help Mike with whatever problem he's having with the missus. Mike, obviously feeling uncomfortable even talking about this to Sam, says, "Well, it's not me, it's you." Sam, once again confused at what Mike is talking about, assures Mike that he doesn't have a problem with Mrs. Brady. Mike finally steers Sam in the right direction by telling him, not Carol, it's Alice. Sam, completely confused, assures Mike that he doesn't have a problem with Alice either. Mike tries a different approach, telling Sam that it's because he's showing up unannounced and that women need time to get ready and to look their best. But undeterred, Sam tells Mike that Alice is his inspiration and that he sees her face in every bowling ball and her figure in every bowling pin. Mike finally seems to give up and go back to his plane. You know, that put a tear in my eye, man. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. You know, you got to hand it to Mike. I think Mike may be the smartest man in town dealing with just buffoons all the time. He's got to be the most patient man, too.
Oh, he's a saint for sure. Mike had just got done acting like this wasn't a big deal. Like, he was just like, what the fuck? Like, Alice can say it. Why doesn't he just tell Sam to get the fuck? Like, why doesn't he just say she has a date, get the fuck out? Like,
yeah.
He just got done saying, well, you know, it's not a big deal. He can handle it. They're adults or whatever. I don't know.
And did you notice when Sam shows up, he like knocks on the frame of the sliding glass door because there's no glass.
And that's kind of ironic later in the episode too, which we'll talk about at the end.
Scene 4. Now we see a rare glimpse of Alice's room, which we've seen it before, but we don't get to see very often. Alice looks sexy as fuck in a red dress with a scarf. Obviously, everybody knows that Jimmy wrote this because I would never have noticed. Marcia.
You don't think, hold on. You think Alice looks ugly?
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you here. I really was actually looking at her and I was like, I was like, it's the hair that doesn't makes her look like some old lady or whatever.
It does. Yeah, you're right.
And which, fun fact, I actually was going to bring it up later, but do you know how old Alice is in this episode?
I was just thinking that in my head. She's probably younger than we are now. She's probably like, what, 44, 43?
She is 45.
Okay, so that's, yeah, a year younger than me.
She's like right...
That's crazy.
Yeah, she's right in between you and I, as of right now, on December 1st. Right, she's right in between you and I.
Until another, like, week
or so. It was so funny because we always think of her as being the old lady in the house. And they kind of treat her like grandma, you know, like they treat her like that. And it's like, I was like, I'm going to see how old she is. I can't believe I've never looked this up before. Yeah, she's like in her 40s.
That's crazy.
She acts like she's in her 70s and they treat her like she's in her 70s. So anyway, I was looking at her. I was like, she still has nice youthful skin and everything, you know. I was like, I don't know, maybe she had a different haircut. I would like to see her with a modern hairstyle.
She's in decent shape because if you remember in season one, she was doing tricks on a trampoline and shit. And spoiler alert, later in this episode, she's doing like sit-ups and shit. So she's still in decent shape.
Yeah. Hmm. Anywho.
Like you wouldn't do her.
As of right now, yeah, I would. It's not my first choice. I'm just desperate. Marcia and Jan are in the room helping her get ready and admiring her pin. Alice explains to the girls it's been in her family for generations when Carol enters, asking Alice if she perhaps forgot that she had a date with Sam. Alice assures Carol she never forgets a date with Sam, but when Carol tells Alice that Sam is there, she disappointingly says, "Oh no." Jan seems impressed.
I thought you said it too.
Jan seems impressed with Alice, exclaiming, "Wow. Two men showing up in one night. Maybe they'll fight over you, Alice," with Marcia exclaiming, "That would be out of sight." Carol, seeing how the girls aren't helping much, reminds them of homework they have to do and rushes them out of the room as the girls protest. Once again,
protest.
Carol begins explaining to Alice how she asked Mike to talk to Sam. You know, like, she's like, "I got that shit covered. Don't even worry about it." Alice admits how it could be embarrassing, but quickly fantasizes about the situation. Can you imagine? One in my mouth and one in my ass. I mean,
you know she was thinking that shit. You know Carol's like, "So you're going to do them both?"
No, she says, imagine two guys
fighting. She's never taken in the butt before. Good.
Imagine two guys fighting over me. They love me. But quickly dismisses the idea, saying it would never happen. Carol turns Alice's attention to the mirror, asking, "Why wouldn't they?" When Alice sees her reflection, she looks impressed, asking herself, "Yeah, Alice, why wouldn't they?"
Did you notice the pictures on Alice's mirror?
I think one of them I did, but one of them was like a family portrait or something, maybe?
Yeah, I couldn't quite make them out, but... I was wondering if they were real, you know, because I'm wondering if that's something that the actress that played Alice would have brought in pictures from home. And so that's what I was trying to make out, because one of them is of a young girl that's a brunette, and I thought it might have been her with her parents. But
it's interesting.
I don't know. I was trying to really make it out what it was, but it was hard.
Well, the only thing I got to say so far about Alice in this episode is, what a bitch.
Who, Alice?
Yeah. Because she, if you remember back in an episode, she got so mad and jealous when she got sick and couldn't go to the dance. And then Sam's like, "Well, I'll just take someone else." And she's like, "You wouldn't, you motherfucker." And he's like, "Well, you know," but he ended up not taking anybody because Alice is his girl, you know. Yeah. And she just like, "Oh, some old flame? Yeah, fuck it." She don't give a shit.
I do think that they have a very toxic relationship.
Yeah, it's... I don't know.
You know, because Sam is a nice guy, Alice is a nice guy. For some reason, when they date, they bring out the worst in each other, and they're trying to make each other jealous and shit.
Yeah, but I mean, she doesn't think anything of, like, just dating this guy. And what makes it worse is, like Mike and Carol encourage it. They're like, "Fuck yeah, you got a date? Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, wait, Sam's here. Good old Sam."
Carol's like, "Who needs soap operas when you got Sam and Alice?"
And it's like, "Well, Mike, get rid of him." And he's like, "Yeah, I better. Shit. Alice needs to get some."
I better shit. I better shit. And he rolls up a newspaper and walks into the bathroom.
Isn't that Al Bundy? But he's like, yeah, I'll get rid of him for you. You know, it's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I don't know.
Oh, God.
And then what is his story that he comes up with? I know, I'll make him feel guilty for just coming over and seeing his girlfriend.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? You just coming over here unannounced?
Well, then he makes Alice look bad in the process. He's like, listen, normally Alice looks like shit. You got to call and tell her you're coming over. So, you know, so she can at least take a shower, you know, comb her hair and shit. Like, you can't just show up. She looks ugly as fuck. So I thought it was kind of a dick move, too. All right. Scene 5. Back down in the kitchen, Mike still hasn't gotten that plane built or Sam out of the house.
Mm.
Sam, still not reading between the lines, is in the middle of saying that he'll go down to a payphone and call Alice to see if she's ready.
I got an idea. What if I go down? And he's like, I don't know, man. I'm just working on this plane, man. I don't care.
You know, Mike was about to say something like, actually, that payphone's out of order. So you need to hit the one on the other side of town. Like the one way over on the other side of town.
And then Sam's like, what do you mean? Is it nothing, man? I'm just going to work on this wing.
Well, just go down to the butcher shop and use my phone there. You want Alice to think you haven't left yet? That you don't care? Oh, no, Mr. Brady. That you need to go on the one on the other side of town. Oh, my God. When Alice... Okay, let me backtrack so we know where we're at. Sam, still not reading between the lines, is in the middle of saying that he'll go down to a payphone and call Alice to see if she's ready. When Alice walks into the kitchen to ask Mike something, when she sees Sam, she seems horrified.
Mm.
Sam seems very excited to see Alice, telling her she looks spiffy tonight.
Mm.
Alice, unsure why Sam is still there, flashes a look at Mike as she thanks Sam for the compliment. Mike slowly tries to get up and sneak out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Sam begins telling Alice she didn't have to get so dressed up simply for the semifinals. Alice, still trying not to feel awkward, admits half-heartedly that it sounds like some match, but then reminds Sam that they didn't have a date tonight. Sam admits that he didn't mean to catch her off guard, but then tells her, since she's already gussied up, let's go. Alice finally stops Sam and tells him that she can't go on a date with him tonight because she has another date tonight. Sam's eyes get big as he begins to get upset, asking, another date?
Or
with who? Yeah. Then begins accusing her of going on a date with the milkman, claiming he sees how she shakes her bottles at him.
Mm.
And then the produce guy, because she sees how she squeezes her melons.
Mm.
And no shit, he actually says that. That's badass. I was kind of hoping they'd switch it and say, I see how he squeezes your mouth. That would have been badass if they would have said that. Alice finally comes clean, telling Sam that she's having dinner with an old friend. When Sam asks if she'll go to the finals tomorrow night with him, she tells him she promised not to make any other plans while her friend Mark is in town.
Or, sorry.
Yeah.
Damn, I gotta take care of that.
When Sam asks how long this is gonna be, Alice tells him only a week. Sam looks disappointed and a little pissed, but Alice seems to relish in his jealousy.
Mm.
Sam is such a dumb shit. Like how does he not cut his fucking hand off or kill himself cutting meat? Like like, he's such a fucking idiot. Like, he's like, I know it's a TV show and I know it's a caricature kind of thing, but I mean, one of the things we do on the show is kind of like rip it apart for real life.
And stuff. Right.
But it's such a fucking, he's such a fucking idiot. Like, how is he in charge of cutting shit?
Well, cutting shit is pretty simple. It's like, blade go on meat, not on hand. You know, it's like...
But I mean, how does he not mistake his hand for the meat? Like, he's that stupid. Like, and also, what the fuck is he so jealous about?
Well, at first, like, he wasn't.
Obviously not... Well, they're not boyfriend and girlfriend. Otherwise, she wouldn't be dating somebody else.
Well, see, we always assumed that they were, right? She even refers to him.
I assume that they had a crush on each other.
She even refers to him as her boyfriend in some past episodes that we watched. You know, it's like, because, you know, he was like, who you got a date with? And she's like, an old friend. And he was like, oh, an old friend. That's cool. Awesome. Well, have a good time. And then she's like, well, I'm going to be seeing a lot of them this week. And then that's when he's like, what the fuck? You're like, we talked about like this bowling semifinal. I know you didn't officially sign up to go with me, but you knew it was coming. Yeah.
Well, let's say that me and you went back to Illinois, right?
Okay.
And we met up with Carol and Katrina, right?
Okay.
And we were like in town and we wanted to hang out with them. Mm-hmm. I don't think either one of us would say, now listen, you're not going to make any plans this whole week. Because my ass is in town. Right. So if your boyfriend asks you to go out, the answer is no, because I want you on call for if I want to go out.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of asshole does that? That should have been a red flag for Alice right away. Now, listen, you're not allowed to see your boyfriend this week because I want you on call for me. Hmm. Fuck, really?
Yep. All right. Scene 6. It is now time for Alice's big date. She's pacing in front of the door in the living room, waiting for Mark to arrive. Carol and Mike are in the living room having coffee, which poor Carol has to serve all by herself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mike notices...
But they spend all that money for Alice to do it.
I know. What the fuck? It's like, well, I guess I'm losing out of money tonight, I guess. I guess I'll do it myself. Mike notices Alice's pacing and offers some coffee, saying, you know, Alice, a sip of this might calm me down. And then Carol's like, and maybe you can put some in my cup, too? Just saying.
Yeah.
But Alice isn't interested, saying it would only make her more nervous.
Actually, she says nervouser. I thought that was funny. But
true.
But what's funny about it is, who thinks coffee would calm somebody down?
I don't know. It's a stimulant.
That doesn't even make sense. Like, Do they not know what's in coffee? Like,
right. A moment later, the doorbell rings and Alice is frozen in fear. When she sees Mike and Carol beginning to leave, she panics, asking them, where are you going? Aren't you going to stay? Carol explains that they don't want to be in the way. But Alice, needing the support, tells them they would be more in the way if they were out of the way. Alice then assures Mike that she is trying to stay calm as he answers the door. Mike answers the door, and of course, it's Mike Millard. Mike greets him as he shakes his hand and invites him inside, telling Alice is waiting for him. As Mr. Millard rounds the corner, going into the living room, he spots Alice, and judging by his face, he is instantly infatuated. As Alice looks at him, she seems at ease but taken aback as he crosses to her, gives her a hug, and hands her a gift as he tells her she looks absolutely wonderful. Alice seems surprised to hear this but replies with, "You don't look so bad yourself." Mark then turns on the charm, asking Alice, how could all this time pass and never touch you at all?
Aww.
Alice replies, oh, they touched me. You just can't see the dents at night. Mike and Carol, seeing all this, are rude as hell, clearing their throat and get Alice to introduce them, which she does. As he's shaking hands with Carol, Alice introduces their 12 eyes, quote, as she points to the stairs with all the kids are up at the top, looking down being nosy as fuck.
I thought that was so fucking rude. Like, they're having this moment.
I know, like they haven't seen each other in like years.
Excuse me, we want to meet this guy that really has nothing to do with us whatsoever in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Also, like, I love the handkerchief prop.
Yeah.
Just what Alice is able to do with it. I think that's like really a compliment to the actress. Just what she's able to do with including the ripping, like whether it's scripted or not, it doesn't matter. She plays it off like really good. Also, why is everything fucking olive? Like including Carol's outfit, everything is olive.
I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't have olives in the scene. Like everything is that olive.
It's the same with their kitchen. Why is everything, what's that color?
What's that? Oh, orange?
No. It's, avocado, like in their kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he comes walking in and he bought her a corsage. Like, are they going to homecoming or, like, adult prom?
Yeah, I thought that too. I didn't know if that was a corsage. I just wrote it off as just a gift or something.
Since you're going to adult prom. Yeah. I don't know.
Plus, I didn't know how to spell corsage, if I'm really honest, but...
I've never had to spell it before either, but I took a shot at it, and my laptop didn't say it was wrong, so...
There's a word in here that I had to spell, and I was impressed that I knew how to spell that shit. And the only reason I knew how to spell that was because I did I was stage manager for a show, and we had to... That was one of the props we had to use. So, anyways, scene 7. We are now up in the master bedroom where Carol is somehow confused, thinking she's Alice's mom. Carol is checking the clock, concerned at the fact that it is now 1:30 and that little Miss Alice isn't home yet.
She's like, I'm mom to everybody in this house, right, Mike? And he's like, no, if you remember, we've been over this a few times. But I thought I was mom to everybody you brought in.
You said I could be mom. That's what you said. Right. Right. To my sons. Yes. Alice came with you. I know. I know. But she's not one of the sons. I know she's kind of manly sometimes, but she's not one of the sons.
And then Sam peeks out. She's like, yeah, I'm with her. I'm a little confused here. What's going on?
And Carol comes down. Don't you have homework? Like, no. I'm the butcher. What are you talking about? But,
sorry, go ahead.
Carol sits up, staring at Mike as if Mike is somehow to find Alice or go ground her or something. But Mike just simply stares at her, saying, Alice is not one of the kids. Carol, frustrated, says she knows, but Alice is out with a man that's practically a stranger to her. Mike tries to calm Carol down, reasoning that Mark looked okay. But Carol, whose anxiety got the best of her, explains that looks can be deceiving. Mike sits up and asks Carol, what are you going to do when Marcia starts to date? Carol replies, probably get no sleep ever. Carol then turns the table, asking Mike, well, you seem wide awake. Why aren't you asleep? Mike wants to say, bitch, because you won't shut the fuck up and go to sleep. But instead, pauses before admitting, because it's 1:30 and Alice isn't home yet. A car door is then heard seemingly in the hallway outside of the room. Mike, feeling relieved, tells Carol, now she can go to sleep. But Carol wants no part of that, saying, well, don't be silly. Now I have to see if she had a good time.
And she gets up and runs downstairs. I thought it was so funny when Mike says the line, what are you going to do when Marcia starts dating? I just thought that was funny because not like, what are you going to do when the kids start dating? It's just only Marcia because she's like the only one that will probably date. Like, I mean, you've seen all the kids. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what are you going to do when Marcia starts dating?
It would have been funny if Mike would have been like, what are you going to do, Carol, when Jan starts dating? And they just both laugh. No, so okay, sorry. What are you gonna do when Marcia starts it? Oh, yikes! I never thought of that.
Exactly. Scene 8. Alice is back from her big date. She enters the living room with a huge smile on her face. She leans against the door for a moment, reminiscing about her date before finally crossing into the living room, but not before humming and dancing around. She turns off the lamps as she goes to her room.
This is a very cliche thing to see in TV and movies.
Yeah.
But have you ever actually done this? Like, have you ever had such a good date that you're like, and like fucking dancing through the living room and like having a stupid grin on your face and shit? Like, have you ever done that?
Strangers in the night. I mean, not like literally, but I mean, I've had a good date or whatever, you come home and you're just like, nice. And you kind of smile. And I've never like danced to the kitchen. Like, I don't know. If you meaning literally, no. But have I felt that way? Yeah.
Usually when I feel that way, I'm like, I got to call Tack.
Like, dude. Like, dude. We were sitting there and like her hand brushed against my hand. What do you think that means? Let's discuss this for like 40 minutes. And I'd be like, okay. Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay.
She looked at me and said, yeah, I'm having fun.
What do you think that means? Dude. Now,
then her hand touched my hand and she didn't pull it away.
I know this sounds like we're making fun of girls or something like that, but no, this is like actual conversation.
This is true. Like this is shit that like we would say to each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
So with that, we're going to take our next break. Mm. So Alice has just gotten back from her cheating whore date with Mark.
Mm.
And it appears that she had a good time.
Psh, Mark. Whatever.
We will be back.
Mm.
I don't know about this, man. It seems wrong.
Dude, don't even worry about it. I mean, I've got it all figured out. We'll have him back before John and Brent even know he's gone. Everything's going to be okay. All right, man? Let's just start the promo and get it over with.
What are you two jackasses doing?
The Inhuman Experience is a weekly, not-so-typical paranormal nerdcast where we attempt to explore the strange and the unexplained. And we borrowed Conspiracy Bot in the hopes that some of that Hysteria 51 juju would rub off on us. But boy, were we mistaken.
I thought nerds were smart. You guys are two of the dumbest meat sacks I've ever had the displeasure of conversing with.
See? That's why I don't like robots.
Racist. I will poke out your good eye.
Blades, get him. Listen, my name is Bobby Anthem. His name is Bobby Blades. We are the Inhuman Experience. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, I don't know, Commodore 64, Easy Bake Oven, pretty much wherever you're hearing this right now. Whatever.
I can't believe John and Brent let these two jackasses on fourth hand.
And we are back.
Woo-hoo.
That was a good break, wasn't it?
It was a good break.
So on that break, I took a couple of drinks of my Mountain Dew, and I sat here with my right arm propped up on the table and just kind of sat here enjoying my time off. What did you do on this break, Tack?
Well, I didn't do much on this on the break we just had, but last week...
I was trying to continue what we did last time. So I was trying to make it seem like mine was really simple, and then you're gonna be like, "Well, I went off and did a podcast."
No. Sorry, no, that was with a dumb joke.
It's awesome. Okay, so like last week, you did what?
So last week, well, you and I were both invited on to do another podcast to be guests, but. Mm-hmm. Unforeseen scheduling things happen, as our listeners
told me not to do it.
Are well familiar. Huh?
My agent told me not to do
oh.
it. No, I'm kidding.
No, but so I was a guest on a show called Beyond Terrestrial. It's part of the Fourth Hand Network. And they talk about different things, for anything from paranormal stuff to aliens to whatever, really. But on that episode, we discussed a documentary called Missing 411. And it's basically about a documentary. But the main story is about a kid who gets lost in out in the wilderness and the mountains and stuff like that. But then they also tie it together by talking about similar stories of missing kids, also in woods and mountains and stuff like that. And it was fun. We broke down the documentary, and which is why we were invited, because we were like, hey, this is a rewatch episode we're doing. Let's invite the boys from a Very Brady podcast. You know, this is what they do. This is their thing, you know. And
it's
so
our wheelhouse.
That's right. But yeah, we had a good time. Just Dan and Lee from Beyond Terrestrial, and it was fun. So check that out. I'm not sure when the episode is going to be available, but check out their show. It's a good time.
I do apologize to them for not being able to make it. But I did research the podcast and I did actually listen to it and stuff in preparation for being on it. And what's cool is I can't remember which one it was, but one of them is in Clarksville, Tennessee, where my brother lives. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Hmm.
But one of the ones I listened to was where they talk about the Russian sleep experiment.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
one of their, it was an episode that they put out when they first introduced their Patreon. And they were kind of demonstrating some of the content you could get if you were a Patreon subscriber.
Mm-hmm.
and the one that they happened to play as an example was the Russian sleep experiment, which, I mean, obviously it's not true. And if anybody's familiar with the story, but it's a fantastic story nonetheless. And so they kind of went through the story and talked about it and stuff. So that was the episode I listened to. I found it pretty enjoyable.
That's cool. Speaking of Patreon, yeah. we have a Patreon. Do we ever talk about our Patreon?
No, we've never mentioned it before.
Well, I mean, we do in the outro that plays after the show, but you and I have never talked about it. That's weird.
Well, those naked pictures of you got out on the internet anyway, so I don't know why anybody would pay for Patreon.
Jimmy, that's a surprise for our tier two people.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Tier two people get a naked picture of moi. they don't really.
No, you don't get. No, you don't get naked pictures of tech.
No,
you get naked pictures of tech if you don't subscribe. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
So, anyways, I really do apologize for the guys on the podcast for not being able to make it. I had some unforeseen circumstances, and I just wasn't in the right mindset to do any podcast. So,
it's all good.
I do apologize.
I explained to them. I told them all your personal business, and they're like, "Wow,
did you?
Good. I can't believe that." And I was like, "I know." No,
like, what a pussy! God,
really, he's upset about that, and he was crying yeah, all day from fuck? It. I'm like, I don't know.
You know, he knows that happens to shit. That shit happens to people like every fucking day, right? Like, why is he being such a little bitch about it?
Anyway. You know, I'm making fun of it, but I don't remember what the problem was. So hopefully, I'm not making fun of you.
I'm like, I feel stupid saying it now because it. Because we're just joking around about it, but my cat died.
Oh yeah, that's right. Something
but
else
it's a cat I had
too.
For a long time, and he was already handicapped when we got him, and he was really important to the family. And yeah. So I found him dead out there. And I'm here. I'm making fun of myself, but and you're like, I can't remember. Jimmy, tell me what it was again.
No, you didn't have to tell my cat me. Died. We can cut it out too.
No, you're good. You're good. I don't mind telling. You know, our listeners, Jenny and Emma Kate. I know they understand.
Yeah. An old dried up pussy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, he is now. Put him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So let's get back into this.
Yeah, please. That was a weird.
When we left off. So Alice has an old friend in town and she went on a date with him in spite of still seeing Sam.
Mm.
And she may have had too good of a time.
Mm.
What will she do? You know, besides continue to be a whore.
Whore. God.
Well, let's get back into this. Scene 9. It's the next day, and Carol is once again in Alice's room helping her get ready. This time, Alice is wearing a green dress with a tag still on, which Carol takes off.
Mm.
Alice is explaining how Mark is going to take her to the King's Lodge.
Ooh.
You know, Tech.
Mm.
The big new fancy place.
Mm.
Yeah. Carol, being the nosy person she is, can't help herself and finally says, "This Mr. Millard is really giving you the big rush."
Mm.
Alice, thinking Carol actually wants to talk about how much fun she's been having, excitedly says, "A different restaurant every night? Dancing till all hours?"
Mm.
Carol's nosiness kicks in again, this time before her brain does, as she says, "You know, it wouldn't surprise me if this Mr. Millard wasn't building up to something."
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it should surprise her if it wasn't building up to something. Like, if you listen to it, the line doesn't make any sense. And I had to listen to it like 5 times.
Okay.
It, 'cause the way she says it, "You know, it would not surprise me if this Mr. Millard was not building up to something."
Double negative?
It should be, it would surprise me if Mr. Millard was not building up to something.
Right. Or
it wouldn't surprise me
right.
if Mr. Millard was building up to something.
Right. She did a double negative, which made it a positive. So,
yeah. So that kind of irked me a little bit.
Yeah.
But then again, she's not the smart one in the house, so I guess I can excuse it.
It's true.
But I can't excuse the writers because they should have caught that shit.
But once again, I'm going to say this again. Why are they supporting her cheating on Sam?
Especially when Mike can't get with the black chick down the street. That's a threesome.
That may this have been cheating. Yeah, that may have been a conversation had later in the bedroom. It's like, why are you all for like Alice hooking up with this dude, but we can't bring in a black chick in the bedroom?
Seriously, yeah.
Hmm.
Alice seems confused at what she means, asking, like what? Carol replies, like rekindling the old flame? You mean the thought of marriage never crept in? Alice admits that it did. If it did any creeping, it was with her and not him. Carol continues to be nosy as fuck, asking what she would say if he did bring it up. Alice, possibly not wanting to talk about it, says she wouldn't know what she'd say. Carol finishes by saying her and Mr. Brady certainly hope it turns out like she wants it to. And with that, Alice is ready. Alice looks at herself in the mirror and says, oh boy, now I know where those calories went. I've been sitting on them as she pats herself on the ass. Why is Carol so damn nosy?
I feel like,
holy shit.
I feel like you say this every episode.
Like, she's nosy as fuck all the time. Always. Like, why can't she mind her own business?
Because she doesn't have a life, Jimmy.
Like, imagine if you went to work. And, no, better yet, imagine you were getting ready for a date and your boss came over, was in the bathroom with you, helping you get ready. And being like, what would you do, Tech, if, you know, she wanted to get married or perhaps wanted your penis? What would you do, Tech? Like, at some point, you'd be like, can you mind your own fucking business? Let me go on my date, please. Like, why are you in my house? Like, why are you bugging me right now?
But it's not even just that. It's like, what would you do? And then Alice is like, I hadn't even thought of that. Like, well, like you
if
should.
I was like, well, answer it. I'm your fucking boss. Answer my question. What would you do, Alice? Like, God damn. Shut up.
Scene 10. Out in the backyard, Alice has decided to get in shape and has the girls helping her. Jan and Marsha are holding down Alice's feet while Cindy counts her doing sit-ups. We then learn from Marsha that if her feet wiggle, even just a little, you won't lose weight doing sit-ups. I never knew that.
I never knew that either. That's amazing. I didn't know your feet literally could not wiggle.
Well, I mean, you've seen Marsha. I'm going to take her advice from a 14-year-old.
Exactly, yeah.
When Alice gets to 7, she falls flat on her back from exhaustion. Cindy reassures her to keep going by telling her, you don't have to stop, Alice. I can count higher.
Ah, Alice is getting them ab muscles ready. Wow, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's when Marsha was like, have you been working on your Kegels?
Make sure you use an enema in case he wants to lick your butt.
And Cindy goes, ew, lick your butt. Who does that?
She's like, ew, they won't do that for another 50 years. Scene 11. Back in Alice's room, Alice is doing her daily beauty regimen by putting some sort of blue goop on her face. Marsha asks what the blue goop is supposed to do. When Alice tells her to tighten up her skin, Marsha looks puzzled, asking, why would anyone want tight skin? Alice, realizing how it sounded...
Mark Millard.
I know, I'm messing up the line, it's making me laugh, but I'm also thinking jokes in my head, it's making me laugh too. Alice, realizing how it sounded, corrects herself, saying, not really tighten, it sort of tones up the facial muscles. Marsha seems genuinely curious, asking how long she's supposed to leave that stuff on. Alice says about an hour or so before Mr. Millard gets here, but reasons maybe she should leave it on. Then begins making goofy faces in the mirror, which is exactly what I would do if I was wearing that shit.
Yeah. She was acting like she was like a mime, like doing those big mime faces. Like, ooh.
Yeah, ooh, yeah, yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. You know, as soon as Marsha walked out of the room, she put that shit down her underwear.
What? To tighten up that pussy?
Hell yeah. You know what she did? She looked both directions. Like, oh, grabbed the handful.
You know, it's kind of funny because she goes, how long is it supposed to stay on? And then she says, about an hour or so, or about an hour or so before Mr. Mallard gets here. I just pictured like Marcia grabbing the bottle of it going, does it say that? Like,
yeah.
An hour or so before Mr. Mallard gets here. Holy shit.
I picture her walking into the kitchen and you know, Mike Brady and Carol sitting there drinking coffee. Why are you walking funny, Alice? Oh, just get ready for the my big day tonight. She put it down her pants. Anyway. Right.
Scene 12. Down in the kitchen, Mike, Peter, and Bobby are working on the plane again, and it's really coming together. The boys seem to be inspecting their work when Alice comes strutting into the kitchen, and she's kind of walking funny. No, she's
not. All sauntery and shit.
Behind it. Alice comes strutting into the kitchen behind them in her green dress. I'm assuming fishing for a compliment. She walks out, leans against the wall, and asks, well, men, how does everything look from there? Peter notices first, saying, wow, look at Alice. Bobby gives the ultimate compliment, saying, wow, neato. Mike finally looks, smiles, and says, Alice, you look gorgeous. Alice, enjoying the compliment, say, oh, go on. But then there's silence, and she continues, no, go on, go on, go on, come on. Tell me more about my eyes.
Alice all looking like a hoochie.
Hood rat, hoochie mama.
Hell yeah. Scene 13. It's big date time. And we see Alice sitting at a table with Mr. Mallard, as a waiter who kind of looks like Captain Steubing comes over to deliver soup. Alice begins eating her vichyssoise soup.
Is that your big word that you spelled?
That is my big word. I had to spell that when I was a stage manager for a show called Nonsense, where a nun gets killed because she ate tainted vichyssoise soup. But that's a whole other story for another time. Alice begins eating her vichyssoise soup, which is disgusting, by the way, because it's served cold.
Yeah.
Mr. Mallard stares at her awkwardly. Alice tries to overcome the creepiness by making conversation, saying, vichyssoise is an awfully fancy name for cold potato soup. But when there's another awkward silence, she points out that he hasn't even touched the soup.
Mm.
He isn't creepy at all when he says, how can I think of eating when I can't take my eyes off of you? I don't think he blinks the entire time he looks at her, too, which is really weird. Alice laughs it off as Mr. Mallard comes in with another creepy line saying, you've really blossomed over the years, Alice.
Well, your tits really came in nicely.
Alice, obviously feeling uncomfortable at this point, tells him he has a way with words and asks how much longer he's going to be in town. He tells her that he's trying to finish up a business deal and begins to explain it, but then stops, saying, I don't think the topic would interest you. You know, because Alice is just a feeble little woman.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say that. That's, you know, his attitude. He then tells her that he has a very unusual investment opportunity and that he was a little concerned at first, but it really checks out. Alice, intrigued and perhaps wanting to impress Mr. Mallard, tells him that she has a nest egg in the bank that's not really hatching very much. But he doesn't seem interesting, telling Alice that the bank is probably the best place to let an nest egg hatch. He then changes the topic, asking, how about some wine? Something sparkling to go with your eyes.
Oh, shit.
Alice seems bothered and asks, would you be getting in on the ground floor of this investment opportunity? But Mr. Mallard turns up the creepy factor with, forget that, Alice. There's other ground floors, but very few charming ladies. When I was watching this, when I was doing the scene, my wife was sitting out in the living room because she works from home. And she, as soon as the scene was over, she's like, that guy creeped the hell out of me. I'm like, this guy was creepy. Like, I don't know if it's supposed to be read that way, but the character read as being really creepy. I kind of felt like he was trying to distract Alice, like, Let's not talk about investments. Let's look over here. I was expecting him to go, God damn it, will you just be distracted by the shiny pretty shit and stop asking me questions?
Yeah, he's pretty good for a guy that's like a con man. Like, He was just like, he mentions it once, boom, like, let's not talk about that. So anyway. Well, we didn't
know he's a con man. Thanks for the spoiler.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm joking.
But, I mean, it was pretty good on his part for, like, trying to, like, he just kind of puts the bug in her ear and then immediately tries to stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Forget about that. Let's talk about how my dick's going to fit inside you. Let's do that.
Classic reverse psychology.
And then she's all like, no, I can sound like a man. Hey, are you getting in on the ground floor? And he's like, oh, shit, you know terms. Oh, shit, okay. All right, but we're not going to talk about that now.
You know, he went back to the office. Okay, fellas, I know you're going to be against this, but I'm going to let this girl on the investment opportunity. But wait a minute, it's a woman. They don't know. No, 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 no. She said ground floors. Oh, shit. She's serious. Yeah.
Well, if she said ground floor, let's get her in here. Scene 14. Back in the kitchen, Alice is putting away dishes when Carol comes in to help. I was a little confused. When is this? The next morning?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Why is she wearing the same dress as the night before?
I don't know, but I mean, it wouldn't be that night because the bank would be closed.
Right.
So it has to be the next day.
I found it weird. Anyway,
I figured she just, they fucked and she slept in her dress.
Yeah. When Carol notices Alice is not in uniform, she asks where she's headed.
No, she wasn't in the green dress. She was in another outfit. She put on another outfit to go to the bank.
To me, it looked like the same green dress she had on the night before.
No, it wasn't the green. I don't think it was a green dress.
It was definitely green. That's for sure.
Was it? Okay.
Anyway, so Carol notices she's not wearing her dress. So she's like, where are you going? When Alice says to the bank, Carol tells her she can drop her off on the way, but tells her until then, if she needs a couple dollars. But Alice says, oh, no, 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 thanks. And tells Carol she's about to enter in the big world of finance. She then tells Carol that Mark has a great investment opportunity and he's letting her in on it. When Carol asks what kind of investment opportunity, Alice tells her, the ground floor. Carol then asks...
She knows her shit.
Right? Carol then asks the ground floor to what? Alice says, well, he didn't say exactly. Carol then asks the name of the company, and Alice says, I don't think he mentioned the name of the company. But that's not as important as what they do. Carol asks what they do. Alice says, I don't know exactly. Huh. He said it was kind of speculative, but at just about that time, I got the feeling he was about to pop the question. So I didn't want to rock the boat. Carol asks if he did pop the question. Alice says, not quite. And then she leaves the kitchen to get her coat. Carol sits back and thinks about and gives Mike a call.
So what would she have... they act like him asking the question is the end goal. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what guy it is, like, as long as you get asked. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're treating it like it's a date for prom.
Right.
Well, he was going to ask me. Right, but he's an asshole and you don't like him. Like, why do you care if he asks you? Why is that the end goal? Like, what?
No idea.
Scene 15. Moments later, we see Carol and Mike on the phone. Mike asks, what sort of investment? Well, what type of business is it? Mike goes on to Carol about how it seems suspicious. He then asks when she's taken her to the bank. Mike tells her to go ahead and take her to the bank while he makes a few fast calls, and then he hangs up. Mike is on the case.
Mike smells bullshit quick. He's good at this.
That bullshit detector works through the phone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, let's think about this from Alice's point of view. Alice is like, hey, well, first of all, like, why are you not in uniform, maid? She's like, well, I got to run to the bank. And she's like, why are you going to the bank? She's like, bitch, none of your fucking business. You know, it's like.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And then she's like, well, okay, since we're friends, I guess, I'm just going to maybe invest in this company. What company? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then she's like, I better call Mike about this. You know, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like. I understand it's for her own good.
Your boss.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Mike about this and see if this is a good idea for you to do as an adult, not related to me. I don't get it. Scene 16. Next, we cut to Alice with Mike and Carol in the living room, and Alice says, Oh, I feel like such a fool. Mike tells Alice, after Mrs. Brady told me, Alice, I phoned a friend of mine at the district attorney's office. And he pauses for somebody to go, wow. Yeah. And he did a quick rundown on Mark Millard, and he's going to stop by and ask you a few questions. Alice sighs and says how smooth he was. Mike goes on, he's an inherent gambler, horses, cards, you name it. Carol adds, and he uses unsuspecting women to support himself. Alice says, how could I have been so stupid? I actually thought he might be popping the question. Mike laughs, just laughs at her and says, he might have. Right now, he's paying alimony to five wives and trying to jump ahead onto the sixth. Alice looks shocked and says, six wives? Then Carol adds, literally Carol adds, and says, you might have been the seventh. Mike's looking at her and says, good job, honey. That's enough math for you today.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
I saw her, like, on her fingers. She was like, you might have been seventh. Seventh? Seventh.
Seven, yes. I thought it was really weird when they were like, Alice, you're grounded. Like, you know you're supposed to ask permission when you do shit like this.
Alice says, well, that's what I call making seven the hard way.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that means.
Sounds like some sort of like card.
Wait a minute, is that a gambling joke?
Maybe.
Like, isn't that like when you play that? What is it with the dice where you throw the dice?
Craps.
Isn't seven the number you're supposed to get?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe we'll ask Jenny. Maybe Jenny knows this too. Yeah. Is she all about sports and games, or is it just sports?
I don't think this is sports. This is like gambling.
Well, it's sports and games, you know, they kind of go together, but I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Carol asks when she's going to give him the money. Alice looks at her watch and says he's coming by soon. Then the doorbell rings. Look at that. How convenient. It's Mark Millard. Millard says,
oh, shit.
Oh, and Mike runs over and answers the door, and Millard says, oh, Mr. Brady, it's nice to see you again. Mike sarcastically says, oh, you don't know how happy I am to be here. Millard walks in and rushes straight to Alice and says, hey, Alice, I wonder if you and I could have a moment together. Mike cuts his ass off and says, Mr. Millard, I took the liberty to talk to my friend of mine in the district attorney's office this morning. Yeah? No? Okay. Right. Carol chimes in and says, and he did some checking for us, and he's on his way over here right now. She had neck action and everything. She's like, right now. And then Mike's like, he did some checking for us or for me? Because he's my friend at the district attorney's office, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Carol was like, well, that's what I meant. I mean,
you know, she went to a women's club meeting. Oh, yeah. Then he called his friend, get this, at the district attorney's office. You know, she's telling that story to everybody at the women's club.
Of course she is. Of course she is.
Oh, and you should have seen it because, like, he was right in my living room and I told him, you know what? Mike called his friend at the district attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, Carol, you told us this like five times now.
So anyway, so Carol says he took the liberty and he's gonna look at the and then Alice looks at Mark as if to ask if it's all true. Millard just looks at her and says, sorry, but that's life, Alice. Wah wah wah. Millard looks around and says, well, I guess I'll be on my way. I'll see myself out, and tries to run for the door. But then Mike stops him and says, just a second. But just as Millard reaches for the door handle, the doorbell rings, and Millard does a quick 180 and heads away from the door and runs towards the kitchen. Mike runs after him and tries to stop him, but just then he runs off camera, and then we hear a loud bang!
Oh, shit. What happened, Tag?
I don't know. You pick it up from there. Hurry!
Scene 17.
Go!
As everyone runs into the kitchen, we see Millard knocked out on the floor out on the patio.
Yeah.
With Sam standing there like a hero holding his meat. Well, he did.
True.
Is that not how you wrote it?
Yeah, that's exactly how I wrote it.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I'm acting. I mean, it is funny, but...
They ask him what he did. Sam says, nothing. He ran right out and into me and slams into your frozen leg of lamb. Just then the doorbell rings. Again, Mike rushes off to get it. Sam asks Alice who the guy on the ground is. Alice tells him it's her friend from out of town. Sam apologizes for knocking him out, but Alice says, so am I. I wish you'd been carrying a whole side of beef. She then sweetly says to Sam, would you put that in the freezer for me, please? Sam, like a good boy, says, sure, Alice. Alex looks down at Millard, still knocked out, and gets an idea to waterboard him with the watering pitcher out back. Just then, Mike Carroll and the quote-unquote friend from the district attorney's office walks out and sees her watering Millard. They all just laugh.
laugh. So, like, well, first of all, when that bang happened, I swear to God, I thought somebody got shot. Like, that's how that sound was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought he punched him.
Yeah, at first, it sounded like a gunshot, but I was like, oh, that's just bad 70s sound effects. That's really somebody getting punched. But then it's not. It's somebody running into, I assume, with his head into a huge frozen leg of lamb, which he's carrying at his waist. Like, it's this guy, like, running, like, bent over and, like, looking straight down. And just, and then,
well, it's a good thing that they didn't have glass in the window or he could have got cut. That sliding door.
I know, that's another question I had, too. Like, how did he, what did he, like, run and then stop and open the sliding glass door and then run out, you know, all not seeing Sam standing there?
Well, you got to remember, like on cartoons, he had to get like that running start where he doesn't move, where his legs get faster and faster and faster and faster, and then he takes off. like on Roadrunner.
Yeah. I don't know. And then once again, you know, Sam's just a saint. He's like, "Who is this?" And he's like, "Oh, it's my friend from out of town." Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen. And then, you know, she's like, "Oh, it's okay. No problem." And then she's like, would you be a dear and put that in the freezer for me? And he's like, sure, Alice. Like, what a fucking bitch. Like, this is the dick I had last night. Instead of hanging out with you with pre-plan that we had talked about that I would go to, but changed it on you. And this is what I was really fucking last night. Oh, since you're here, can you put that away for me? Fuck you.
You're so good
bitch.
At knowing about, you know, meat and keeping it cold. Can you show me? By putting this in the freezer? Yeah. Okay.
Can you show Alice how that works? All right, sorry. Scene 18. Now we're in the kitchen and Carol is packing a picnic for Sam and Alice. Carol says, there you go, a perfect little picnic for two. I sure hope you enjoy your day off, Alice. Like how she likes to point that shit out.
Yeah. I sure hope you enjoy the day that we generously gave you off.
Mike tells them to have a good time. Just then, the boys come in with their newly painted plane. They look bummed. Mike asks what the problem is. Greg says, we want to go fly this, but there just isn't enough room in the backyard. Sam says, well, we're about to go to Highland Park. Huh? Highland Park?
Ah.
There's enough room there for a 747 to take off. Want to come with us? The boys say, yeah. Sam goes on to say that they should ask the girls to come and watch. As the boys leave to run upstairs, he yells to Greg to make sure he invites Marcia, which I thought that was...
Yeah, I thought it was strange, too. and Greg was like, duh. So I thought
it was weird. But don't forget about Marcia. Like, I was going
make
to...
Make sure she wears one of Cindy's dresses.
Now, that part didn't happen, but... Alice looks back at Sam and says, Sam, that's 8 stomachs to fill and only... enough for 2. Sam says, oh, that's okay. We'll stop by the shop and we'll pick up some more cold cuts. He leaves to put the picnic basket in the car. Carol says, well, you didn't have much choice, did you, Alice? Let me pause right there for a second. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay. So Sam's like, hey, why don't all your kids come along with us? You know? And then they're like, yeah, cool. Gee, thanks, mister. You know, and then like, and then Alice immediately is like, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, what? And he's like, well, but, you know, it's like, man, oh, there's not enough food here. I guess we'll have to figure something else out. And he's like, we'll figure it out. No big deal. All right, I'll see ya. And then he leaves. And then Carol's like, what the fuck? And she's like, right? What kind of shit is that? Like, why are these women like such bitches?
Well, I don't know.
After all that, you're like, oh, you going to finish your paragraph there, buddy?
No, I was reading through to see where, I was thinking in my head, where the fuck did Sam go? Why did he leave the room?
He went to take the
picnic basket. Oh, he leaves to put the picnic basket in the car. Okay. That was preoccupying me. So, I mean, you don't think that he should have invited the kids without asking Alice?
No, I don't see what the big deal is. I understand they're supposed to be romantic, but they're not going to be hanging all over them, right? They're going to be off doing their own shit.
They're still
going to have alone time.
I mean, the kids go there all the time by themselves anyways.
Yeah. So, like, but, like, he invites them to be nice, and then Alice is immediately like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, we don't have enough food. And he's like, no big deal. We'll get some more. What's the problem? And it's not a big deal. Yeah. And then as soon as he leaves, that's when Carol chimes in, like, what the fuck? And she's like, I know, right?
She stokes that fire.
Yeah, she's like, what a dick.
He didn't even ask you.
Like, I know. So she's like, well, you didn't have much of a choice, did you, Alice? And she's like, huh. Well, I like having the kids along, she says, although it's not very romantic.
Mike says, and it's my day off.
Right. Oh, cool. On my one day off I get to hang out with all the kids. Which I get that. So she's like, it's not very romantic having all the kids around. Mike says, oh, on the contrary.
Like it's romantic eating fucking sandwiches? What the fuck kind of romantic picnic is that? They're eating fucking sandwiches.
No, see, they're going to eat underneath a tree and a blanket, maybe have a bottle of wine.
That shit wasn't romantic to begin with.
I understand. My idea of romance is like in the bedroom and like knee deep and some. No, I'm not going to think of anything funny.
That's when you bust out the 9-iron and them ice cubes. Hell yeah.
Now that's romance. So anyway, so Alice is like, well, having all the kids around isn't very romantic. Mike says, oh, on the contrary, it's very romantic. He then scoops up Carol and says, for us, and runs off with her into his arms and tells Alice to have a good time. And Alice just laughs.
I thought it was funny when he had that evil laugh and he's laughing maniacally the whole way out. No, I'm kidding. You didn't do that. You're looking at me like, what? I missed that part.
No, that's exactly what I was saying. I was like, I don't remember that, but that's hilarious. You deal with our kids, you stupid maid. Yeah. So that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, the anxiety I had in this episode was, I thought, is this guy going to propose to Alice and she's going to have to, like, potentially leave the family?
Yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen on this. That's where I thought the direction of this was going. Like, Alice would be faced with a choice of getting married and being happy or staying with the family. But no.
I feel like that was a topic. That was early on. That was an episode where she thought she's going to have to leave because because Mike got married. Like, well, I guess you don't need me around anymore. And then Mike's like, have you seen my wife? She's lazy as fuck and doesn't know how to do anything. I 100% need you here. And she's fucking stupid.
Well, I thought in one of the follow-up movies, not the parodies, but the actual movies, mm-hmm. I thought this was a thing. I thought after the kids were adults or something like that, that Alice was faced with, well, you don't have kids anymore, so I guess you don't need a housekeeper or whatever. I thought, maybe not, but I thought it was.
I can't remember. I'm not sure if I've seen all the movies, but we will when we do the show. We'll get to them.
Hmm. Okay.
Oh, man. So.
So what are you doing? That's what that sounded like. Okay, so our normal disclaimer that we give out.
Oh, yeah.
We had fun here today. Don't be offended. We love the show. We're not racist. We're not sexist. Well, text a little bit, but
no, hey, obviously
we obviously love the show, or we wouldn't take the time to do the podcast. So yeah, I mean, don't feel like we're ragging on that. I mean, if you're a big fan of the Brady Bunch, we are too. But the point of this podcast is, you know, to see, it's kind of an experiment, so to speak, to see how the podcast hits different generations and different people. And you know, if you're one of the people that watched this when it first came out, that's awesome. That's great. But it's going to hit your generation differently than ours, or even the next generation after us. So that's kind of what this podcast is about. And there is no wrong opinions. And a lot of the jokes that we do is to make fun of how the podcast thinks, because it's so far-fetched by today's standards.
For sure.
So, yeah. So they have some homework assignments again, Tack.
Uh-huh.
Man, so, you're one of those teachers that give a lot of homework.
I don't care. And it's Friday. I don't care. So if you check out the website at verybradypodcast.com, that's going to have a lot of your stuff there to find out more about the show and stuff like that. I don't know. That was worded weird.
If you feel like it, you can do a rate and review on the Apple Podcast. You don't have to. I mean, it's not, Apple doesn't really make it that convenient. It's not really something you do while you're driving or whatever. It's something you might be able to do while you're in the bathroom or whatever. But I mean, they don't really make it super convenient. So, I mean, but if you want, you can do a rate and review if you have strong feelings about the podcast.
Yeah, it helps us out tremendously by doing those rate and reviews. Or you can tell two friends about the show, and then they'll tell two friends. And so
you can
on.
Send an email to the show and tell us how you like or dislike the show. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you hear us from time to time read emails. If you don't want us to read on the air, we won't, obviously. But we like to, good or bad, we like to read them on the show.
Mm-hmm. And that's averybradypodcast@gmail.com. And you can join our Facebook group and join in the conversation. It's a Very Brady Facebook group, and you can post your memes, do whatever. We have a good time on there.
Another thing you can do is check out our Patreon and, I mean, throw out some ideas. You know, like, I mean, if you check out our Patreon, I mean, feel free to say, you know what, I would join if you did this, or, you know, hey, you mentioned Naked Pictures Attack. That might be worth $2.99 a month. So, I mean, if something like that would work, I mean, feel free to throw out ideas and stuff about Patreon. We're not, you know, I mean, I don't know, doing a bonus episode of one of the movies. Or, I have no idea, but I mean.
No, yeah, all great ideas.
Yeah. So feel free to throw out ideas about Patreon.
Or you can just follow us on Facebook, the Very Brady Podcast Facebook page. That's where you're going to get all your in real time up-to-date updates. That was said weird. But that's where you're going to get your updates. So occasionally Jimmy and I will miss a week, and then we will let everybody know on that page saying, hey, we fucked up this week and there's not going to be an episode.
Also, we try to stay active on there. We try to reply to people and stuff. I like to think we're approachable.
For sure.
So you'll see us on there. If you comment on there, there's probably a 90% chance that both of us are going to comment back, kind of thing.
Definitely.
Why don't you tell them about the next episode, Tack?
Okay, and this is the last episode of season 2.
Yes.
So it's season 2, episode 24. And I completely didn't write down the name of the episode, but it's about Carol decides to write a story about the family to submit to a magazine. But her initial story is rejected by the editor because it is not positive and uplifting enough, which I find that hard to believe about the Brady family.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe Carol just sucks at writing.
That's probably it.
She's like, and then she went on this date, and like he was totally about to like ask her to marry him, and she starts talking about some fucking dumb investment opportunity. That's probably what the whole story was.
Mm-hmm. You ain't lying. This is a weird episode. I didn't really like it because the kids weren't in it much. So,
yeah.
It was kind of weird.
I mean, I didn't really like it that much because Alice is such a one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times she functions almost like a narrator role. She kind of pushes scenes along sometimes. Like, they don't really talk very much about Alice's background. I mean, hell, we don't even see her room that much. And they even talk about that in the that TV show where they renovated the Brady house. They even talk about how you don't see Alice's room that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, and to have a whole episode devoted to Alice and expecting the audience to really kind of get behind Alice and worry about her,
it's
a little silly. It's because she's such a throwaway character in a lot of ways.
She's just there
I
for
mean,
the
obviously
comedy.
Huh?
She's like the comedy relief. That's she doesn't
exactly. Yeah.
She doesn't need a whole episode dedicated to her on a serious note. That's just, I don't know.
But I mean, the formula of the characters, I think any one of these characters could realistically have their own spinoff. Except Alice.
Which is sad.
I think a spinoff of Alice would fall flat because she doesn't have anybody to play off of.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Okay.
All good points. So, I'm not sure when this episode is going to happen, but I do remember an episode of the Brady Bunch that that completely goes next, like to a different house on the street. Like, I think it might have been their attempt at maybe doing a spinoff of this family. Like the whole episode is about them, and I think the only people that kind of like bridge the gap is Mike and Carol. Because I think I think it's about an adoption or something like that, where this couple down the street want to adopt a kid or something like that, and the whole episode is over at their house about their adoption process, and Mike and Carol pop in and like, "Hey, how's it going over here?" What the, you know? And I was like, "That's a weird episode." And when we get to it, you'll be like, "This was weird."
Okay.
But anywho, all right. So, well, let's get out of here.
Okay. All right. Well, I have been Jimmy.
And I have been Tack.
And this has been a Very Brady Podcast.
And we will see you on another sunshine day. Nailed it.
Hell yeah.
Hey, thanks so much for stopping by and checking out the show. And come on back here for new episodes every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Also, on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rate and review. It helps the show out tremendously. Head on over to averybradypodcast.com to check out past guests. And maybe you wonder what Jimmy and I look like, but, you know, it's not as good as you think, so don't get too excited. And you can contact us at averybradypodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email and we'll read it on the show. And also head on over to the merch store at tpublic.com. The link is in the description below. And don't forget to join the Facebook group. It's called A Very Brady Facebook group. And also there's a like page for the show as well called A Very Brady Podcast. So join in on the fun, join in on the conversation, post memes, do whatever you want. Just don't be a racist dick. And be sure to also check out the Patreon page. If you enjoy the show, give a donation and become a patron. We'd certainly appreciate it. Just head on over to patreon.com/averybradypodcast. Until then, this has been A Very Brady Podcast, and have a sunshine day.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.